I'm going to change the sermon text today. I want to take a look at Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Luke chapter 10, verses 38 through 42. Very famous story. It's about Mary and Martha. I want to focus on Martha. Let's read. Now, as they were traveling along, he entered, Jesus, a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, all the missions she was doing. And she came upon him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving, all the particular mission alone? Then tell her to help me. But the Lord answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary. For Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. The word of the Lord, written for you. When you hear the word mission, what do you think of? At least in the church context. When you hear the word mission, what comes to mind? You know, probably the missions committee. Some sort of outreach done by the church, that we go beyond our local assembly, go beyond the four walls of the church, and go beyond even a denomination, and you go out and engage the world. And that usually involves two things, combination. Evangelism, proclaiming the gospel to unbelievers to bring about their conversion, and also works of charity, helping our neighbor with physical needs. Now, those two things, evangelism and charity, are clearly taught in Scripture. Evangelism, of course, you think of the Great Commission, the Lord Jesus commanding his apostles, the founders of the church, to preach the gospel. And let me give you the Great Commission, but let me give you the Mark version of it. Our Lord commands, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. He who has believed has been baptized shall be saved. But he who has disbelieved shall be condemned. With that, of course, also you think, secondary level, charity. You think of probably the parable of the Good Samaritan, that we are called to show love and mercy to everyone. And as the parable of the Good Samaritan teaches, everyone means everyone, including our enemies. And so therefore the church is supposed to do evangelism plus charity. And you see that, by the way, in the one history book in the New Testament, the book of Acts, where we read about those who are commissioned by the church, the apostles and other leaders who go out and preach the gospel and do works of mercy. Oh, and by the way, that same Bible study starting on Wednesday night, if you want to come out for that, we're going to be doing the book of Acts. But today, all Christians agree we should do evangelism and charity. But there's been a lot of debate, especially recently, and by recently I mean the last few hundred years, about missions, especially in modern times. And so let me just briefly, because again this is a smaller sermon because it's a mission Sunday, give you a brief history of missions in church history. It's interesting to note, if you go read anyone from the Reformation and earlier, they don't talk about missions like we talk about missions. You know, from 100 AD to 1600, 1700 AD, when you go read anyone from that period, they don't talk about missions committees and missions projects. Now, they certainly did evangelism. They certainly did charity. They don't talk about it like we talk about it. I'll give an example. Whenever we have a Mission Sunday and we have a Protestant creedal reading, and I go to the great creeds of the Protestant church and the ancient church, there's no chapter on missions. And they really don't talk about it. But yet, they did it. One of the reasons for that is because the word mission and the word missionary are actually pretty modern words. They really come from the 17th and 18th century. And really have this focus on missions with the rise of denominationalism and pietism starting in the 17th century. And you see that if you do a study of missions, how there's an explosion starting in the 18th and 19th century about missions, especially the 19th century. All the great interdenominational missions organizations have their origins in the 19th century. You have denominations who are created in the 19th century who are focused primarily on missions. Just to give you one example. The Christian Missionary Alliance. It's probably a denomination you've heard of. There are churches around here that are from that biblical denomination. You can get academic degrees in missiology, studying missions themselves. Our own Lee Capobianca is going to be doing that, and that's a wonderful thing. And it's actually highlighted many of the tensions in the last 200 years. The great debate between evangelical Christians and liberal Protestants. A lot of it comes down to missions. The evangelicals, not surprisingly, focusing on the gospel and evangelism and going out and converting the lost. And liberals focusing on just doing charity. Because for them, charity is only the gospel. And by the way, that's wrong. But even in evangelical circles, there's been increased debate and discussion and thinking about how to do missions. And if you read the modern literature, they have these wonderful, interesting, strange terms sometimes, like being missional and worried about contextualization and interculturation. I said that wrong. And such things as the emergent church and the organic church. And a lot of talk about missions, but not all, gets wrapped up in what's called the church growth movement. How do you grow the local church? And I must confess, when I look back upon this historically, I sometimes wonder, has this modern focus on missions been good or bad? Now, I'm not a missiologist. I don't have a degree in the studies of missions. I'm just a pastor. But I think this modern focus on missions, I'll be honest, I think it's been mixed at best. Yes, we've seen people go out to be missionaries. Yes, we've seen the gospel proclaimed. And that's a good thing. Because again, evangelizing the lost and doing works of charity are commanded in Scripture, clearly. However, I think sometimes it's put a little bit of a loss of focus on more important things. To be brief, I would argue, going from the law of God, especially the Ten Commandments, the purpose of the church is threefold, and you've heard this before. First and foremost, the main purpose of the church is the correct worship of the Lord through the ministry of the Word, centered around the law and the gospel. Next comes discipleship, growing the saints in Christ through the law and the gospel. And then finally, there's outreach or mission, where we go out and we evangelize the world and engage in works of charity. Again, I would argue this comes from God's law, but it's critical to get the order right. First worship, then discipleship, and then outreach. If you goof up the order, I think bad things happen. And certainly, again, we should not be against outreach. We should encourage things like the diaper bank and have the local church and denominations reach out to the world. No doubt about that. But if that becomes the primary thing and worship and discipleship get pushed down, I think a lot of foolishness can occur. I think it's very important to keep that order together. And my main argument for that is trying to find the word mission in the Bible. The way we use mission in the modern sense. If you try to find the word mission in the Bible, it becomes interesting. There is one word that comes close to it, that's occasionally translated as mission. And this word implies, and it comes from the root, to serve one's master or guest at a table, kind of like a waiter, like from our sermon text. Let me read it again. This is just Luke 10, verse 40. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, her labors, her service, her ministry, the mission she was on. This word is, I think, the closest to mission. And she came to him, Jesus, and said, "Lord, do you not care about that my sister has left me to do all the serving, ministering unto Jesus," in the sense of giving him food. Here the verb form of this word is shown. "Then tell her to help me." Because that word for mission, in its simplest form, means preparing food. That's where its root is from. And you find it translated in different ways depending on the context, because the context always affects the translation. But you hear it in most English Bibles as being translated as mission, preparation, ministry, relief, service, or support. It's interesting. There's another noun in the New Testament. It refers to a person who does this type of mission. But it's not missionary. That word missionary is not technically in the New Testament. You actually know this other word. You know what it comes out to be? Deacon. Deacon. Someone who is a minister, someone who is a servant, someone who is a waiter, someone who engages in service, does a mission of service. That's the definition of deacon. But this broader word, this word for mission, is very interesting. And the reason why we don't always translate it as mission, at least in the modern sense, because when you read it in the New Testament, the word is much more focused on the church. Yes, we're called to love our neighbor and serve our neighbor. There's no doubt that's in the New Testament. But there's so much more language about the church. And that's why I argue those three things of the church have to be in that order. First, we have to focus on worship and the correct worship and correct doctrine. Then comes discipleship, building up the saints in the law of gospel. And then from that comes the byproduct of going out to the world and evangelizing the world and doing works of charity. And if you do a study, and I put it in your handout, you can look at this when you go home. Every time that word mission is used, it has a lot of different meanings. All churches are called to do a mission. And the missions cover different types of services. We all individually may be called to a particular mission, whether it's to being an official title like a pastor or an evangelist who is sent out, or just particularly loving your spouse, which we're all called to do, and to care for our children, or maybe a particular service in the local church, such as teaching Sunday school. It's a very broad term. Churches are called to have missions to each other. It's not just an individualistic term. Again, our modern mind, we so default to the individual. We read in the New Testament, especially in 2 Corinthians, that local churches are supposed to have missions to other churches that are in need, such as collecting money and helping out poor Christians in other local churches. And we're warned in the New Testament that our actions should never discredit the church's mission. But this word for mission, again, has first and foremost a church focus. But primarily, it is always grounded in the gospel. Because God's plan for all creation is described as his mission. And that is rooted in the gospel. Because true mission is found in Christ himself. And we read in the scriptures, the apostles' main purpose is to go and preach the gospel to the world. That is their mission. And the gospel itself equips Christians for missions. So the end of mission is the gospel, and the beginning of one's mission is the gospel. So, when you hear the word mission, what do you think of? If you think of only going outside the church, you're not thinking fully biblically. Yes, we're called to go outside the church, Yes, we're called to evangelize the lost. Yes, we're called to do charity to the world. Having the diaper bank, which is a great Christian charity, should continue, I would think. And I appreciate, again, all those who labor so hard at it. We also should look for evangelists who are called to proclaim the gospel to the lost. And the missions committee is right now looking to support an evangelist whose main job is preaching the gospel. But remember Martha. She was doing a mission. She was feeding her neighbor. She was showing hospitality. And of course, she was showing charity to Jesus Christ. She was doing a mission. But our Lord gently, very gently rebuked her. Didn't say what she was doing wrong. But Mary was doing something better. And what was that? Listening to Christ. Hearing his gospel. That was the better part. We in this church must do missions. And we should be constantly trying to figure out how can we reach out to the world to preach the gospel and do works of charity. But that's not our primary mission. Our primary mission is the correct worship of the Lord, following by the discipling of the saints. And from that will come a zeal to go out into the world. So, what is missions? It is doing the service we are called to do. So what's your mission now? What's your mission to do today? I know what it is. And it's not, you think I was going to say, oh, you know, you need to go home, figure out how you can do more work for the Lord. Yeah, that's a good thing. I don't deny that. But you know what your mission right now is to do? You know what your service is to do right now? Come to the table. And be fed on the gospel as this one of the central parts of worship. Because if you want evangelism in its pure form, it's the table with the ministry and the proclamation of the word. To hear your sins are forgiven and to taste the kindness of the Lord. Because that's the power of God. Because evangelism, as I said last week, is not just for the lost. It's especially for Christians to be fed on the gospel. Because that's what evangelism is, to hear the gospel. And that feeds us. And that causes us to go out and to do good works. And that's a glorious thing. Amen.